Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, is everyone there? Sorry, I just want to switch on the thing. All right, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's read the three verses together, right? Ready? 1, 2, begin. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before your presence, as Mary said at your feet, Father, we pray. We want to sit at the feet of our Savior to teach us. Lord, thy word is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is very sure. Forever thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Lord, today as we open your word, and I pray you help us to have a humble heart, to hear what you have to say. Help us to have an obedient heart, to be able to do what you want us to do. And help us to have quick feet to do, Lord, to start moving in the direction you want us to move. Father, I pray for one person who may be carrying a heavy burden today. Lord, only you know. I pray that thy word, as bread from heaven, will feed that soul. God, if there's someone who is discouraged, Lord, we need courage from heaven. Add to that. Lord, we need your strength. Lord, we need you. And Lord, we do not seek just your blessing. We seek the blesser. We seek the giver. We seek you, Lord. And Father, may the name of our Savior be exalted today. I pray that everyone, Lord, you will give them something today. For Lord, we know that when two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And Father, we know that you're with us. And I pray that we will all, Lord, from children all the way to the oldest person here, will hear from heaven, Lord. Speak, Father, for your servant here as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. We just finished the elections. And in the elections, you will find that the one party will say this thing about the other party, and the other party will ask the other party to repent, and and all the thing, and basically, where is this person? So there seems to be that kind of conflict, all right, the kind of fighting against one another. And of course, in political situations, you know that one party wants to take over versus the other party. We're going to talk about the conflict and comfort of being a servant of God. We talk about a servant, and we talk about one of the things. Let's turn to the book of Luke first. Luke chapter 12, I believe. Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. Okay, I'll just read, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. God promises blessings to people who will serve God. And as a servant, I think it was on a Friday during our Lord's Supper service, I preached a message. I can't remember exactly the passage now. The Bible talks about the rulers of the Gentiles of this world will always be the benefactors. Meaning that if I'm a ruler, the world's thinking is this. If I'm the leader and I serve you, I am the benefactor. It means I am to be put up on the pedestal. I am the one that will say, you know, I think there was someone in our political party say, if it's not for this particular party, you all won't be here today. Alright? You know what? That is the thinking of this world. Do you realize what the Lord Jesus says? Jesus mentioned that this is not to be so in his church. That as a servant of God, we have talked about in the book of Philippians, do you realize that Jesus as a servant made himself of no reputation? And as a servant of God, if we are to follow the example of Jesus, we are to be made people of no reputation. Yes, I'm the pastor, But as far as God is concerned, I'm a servant. We need to serve. Now, coming to here, as a servant of God, you will find one thing, or even as a servant, you will find there are conflicts. There'll be fighting. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. We are there. Here, you read the three verses. There's an argument, not a good way to start a church service by looking at argument between two persons, but this is God's word. We want to learn from this, okay? And Miriam Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, Miriam took issue with Moses because of the wife that he married. Okay, and so that was what happened, and of course, and then later on in verse 2, interestingly, there's another slant to it. Because as much as Miriam was speaking against Moses' wife, Miriam had another issue with Moses. Alright, we'll talk about that a little bit more. As a servant of God, I just want to start off by saying we all undergo conflicts. If you want to serve God, there will be conflicts. I want to describe three different conflicts later on. You know, the word conflict means a contention. An opposition, a fight. The word conflict means a fight, a contention, an opposition. Now, question for us is, why would there be conflicts with the servant of God? Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. And I want to start this off for us to be very clear what the Bible has to say about conflicts in this world, all right? Whether you're a Christian or not, the Bible is God's word. God has the final say, and this is what He says. Proverbs 13 verse 10, let's read together, alright, so that we won't miss it. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Where does contention come from? Pride. Can I say this? Every conflict, based on God's word, is because of pride. Because it's interesting how the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. But Brother Johnny, you know this situation and you know that, but no, the Bible says only. In other words, when all is said and done, when all the smoke clears, the reason is pride. The reason is pride. Comes contention. Where did it start? Let's turn to Ezekiel 28. Where did it start? Ezekiel 28 and verse 13. Where did it all start? Ezekiel, there are two passages that relate specifically to where the sin of this world starts. There are two passages, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, but we'll look at Ezekiel 28. The Bible says in verse 13, I'll read, alright? There are many passages I'll be reading, but just listen. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. God was talking to Satan, Lucifer, during that time. Satan was a created being, or Lucifer was a created being. His name was Lucifer. God was talking to him. You were in Eden, your most beautiful place. And your covering, your clothing, was gold and carbuncle. And it's interesting because God put in Lucifer, who was the chief angel, all the things. Listen, much of Lucifer has been clothed with these precious jewels. The goal is this, that Lucifer reflects the glory of God. If all is dark, Lucifer will have no opportunity to reflect. But Lucifer forgot that. Interesting. We forget that what we have belongs to God. Okay, let's go on. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was created in thee. That's a clue to music. I just want to highlight that because Lucifer was the chief musician in heaven. And can I say this? He didn't make music. The Bible says the tabrets and the workmanship was created in thee. He didn't create music, he was the music. God made Lucifer the chief musician. He was the music. Does that make sense? Alright? And then in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub, the appointed one that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till sin or iniquity was found in thee. Look at verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up. What was the problem with Lucifer? What was his problem? Pride. He thought that, well, God has made me so. That means I am someone else. Can I say this? After the pride of Lucifer, his name was changed to Satan. Sin has so deceived him that he wanted Jesus in the wilderness, that he had the audacity to come to the Son of God, the one who made him, and say, come on, if I give you all this, you worship me. What is he thinking? Can I say this? When you're in sin, sin blinds your eyes. Sin blinds your eyes. You can do something wrong. What's wrong with that? Have you heard that before? It's so obviously wrong. It's like, can't you see it's wrong? You're not supposed to take that. You're not supposed to do that. You know why sin blinds your eyes? The God of this world blinds your eyes. Can I say that the person who is proud is blinded because of that sin? And the Bible actually says, if you look at Ezekiel, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Interesting, the source. I was beautiful, therefore I was proud. Can I say that God can take away your beauty anytime? God can take away your money anytime? God can take whatever that you think is yours, God can say, I can take it away anytime. Japan was one of the very strong economies. How long did it take for the tsunami to destroy things? Remember the Titanic? Was built so well that even God cannot sink it. Shouldn't never say that. And what happened to the Titanic? Down it went. Christians, yes, we are Christians, but don't dare God. Don't presume. So God is the God of love. He reaches out. We studied on Friday, Hosea 11 verse 8. You know what God cried out? God was going to judge the nation of Israel. You know what God said? How can I give you up? That was God's heart. God always loves. God always loves. But you know what? God has no choice. Just like a parent who loves a child, God may have no choice but to discipline that child if he doesn't want to listen. Why? Because he loves. Every child, every parent who loves will discipline. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 says. And so here, the Bible says, sin has corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. God told Lucifer, because of your beauty, because of your brightness, you have corrupted yourself, you have become proud, your reason is wrong now. And what did God say? I will lay thee before kings that they may be, I will cast thee to the ground. God says, I will resist the proud. And you know, that's a scary thing. For, you know, if you resist me, that's no problem. If God resists you, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble if God resists you. The underlying reason for all conflicts is pride. And as a servant of God, let me ask you a question. Whose side are you on? Pride started with Satan. It is continued by Satan. And everyone who is proud in their hearts, can I say this? You may be indirectly being a servant of Satan by implication. I don't believe any of our Christian brethren here will say, I'm going to be a servant of Satan, you know. No, you won't. Because pride blinds us. But we need to be careful. That's why God's truth brings it up. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, the Bible says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. The second part of that verse has to do with evangelism. If you're not involved in bringing souls into the kingdom of God, or helping someone at least find Christ, or helping someone to know what is right, you know what God says? If you are not doing those things, you are as one that scattereth. In other words, Christian, there is no middle ground whether you serve God or not. Because if you don't serve God, if you serve God, there will be good outcomes. But if you don't serve God, God says, if you don't gather with me, you're actually scattering. Alright? If I leave a cup of water here for a few days, what will happen? I'll get a call from NEA. Fine. Lots of 80s. Things left to itself will corrupt. We know, sometimes we think that our Christian lives will grow if we don't read the Bible. Our Christian life will grow if we don't serve. Our Christian life will grow if we don't obey God in baptism. Our Christian life will don't grow if we don't do things. Can I say this? Much increase is by the strength of an ox. The book of Proverbs tells us we need to work. We need to put in the effort. If we don't actually gather, God says we are scattering. Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gets not with me scattereth. When God says it one time, we better pay attention. If God says it twice, we jolly well better pay attention. Because this is God's word. God repeats it again and again and again. Right? Like a parent or a science school teacher, sit down. I said sit down. Are you going to sit down? You know, does that make sense? If God says one time in the Bible, we better pay attention. But if God says two or three or four times, God has an intention for us to pay strong attention to a Christian stand on God's side. As a Christian, we can send. Do you realize as a Christian, by the things we do, words we say, friends we mix with, we can be on the wrong side. We can be resisting God. If you choose to stand with God, get this, you will be opposed. There will be conflict. There will be people who will not understand why you need to do certain things. Okay? And Jesus was opposed. He was opposed all the way. The moment he started preaching, he was opposed by his own countrymen. Remember, they wanted to remember in Luke chapter 4 when he preached and the people were saying they wanted to throw him off the cliff in Luke chapter 4. Now what Jesus says, that's not my time now. He went. The Pharisees was against him. People were against, even his disciples at some time opposed his teaching. He said, remember Peter? He said, well, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be betrayed. What did Peter say? Lord, this is not going to happen to you. I will die for you, you know. And what did Jesus call Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Matthew chapter 18. Peter must, Lord, I'm trying to protect you. Jesus was opposed. The disciples were opposed. Disciples were supposed to. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24-25, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If they called Jesus Satan, do you realize today the church of Satan in America believes that Jesus is actually the devil? And they believe that the reason why Jesus is so against the devil because the devil is actually God and he is the devil. It's like how sin and pride corrupts your thinking. But can I say this? Yeah, this may be on a global, international scale, but you know what? Even as Christian, even at a personal level, sometimes when someone tells us we have done wrong and we refuse to admit that, sin has blinded our eyes. What we do wrong sometimes have blinded our eyes. When you stand for the Lord as His servants, you will be opposed. And Christians, from the beginning, you need to understand this principle. Myself, my wife, and I know that many Christians here, when they took a stand at baptism, and said, we will be baptized because we love Jesus. My pastor came to our church to scold me. My mom went to our church to scold my pastor. Okay, my wife also had an experience about with the parents. The dad didn't talk to him for 3 days. And I'm sure some of you may go through that when you choose to follow Jesus. And I believe this, if you're here today, you're not baptized, the first test, it doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. The Bible is very clear. But your first test of your genuine walking with God is baptism. Now you need to be baptized in the right church. You need to know where you're getting baptized to. You need a church that obeys and loves God's word. Because God's word is the final authority. Okay? When you stand for the Lord as His servant, you will be opposed. And some of you may have to be in your heart saying, well, if that's the case, I need to follow Jesus. Following Jesus means taking the first step of identifying with Him in baptism. We thank God for Sister Jesslyn who did that. Many of us have done that maybe a few years back or many years ago. We have done that. We follow Christ in baptism. Some of you may have stories to tell about how. I know of one of our sisters who is in Bangkok now. She took 1 year of struggling with herself and her family before she got baptized. But you know, she chose to follow Christ. The Bible says, 1 Peter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Apostle Peter said, guys, when you go into trouble as a Christian, that's life. That's life as a Christian. I don't know about you, but life is exciting as a Christian. Amen. I don't know. My this last week has been exciting. Ups and downs and tours and all that kind of thing. Different things happening, you know. Looking at the place, working with people, seeing how God is doing different things. It's exciting, but you know what? There are trials. 2 Timothy 3, 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you will make a stand, for example, if your boss may choose to do something wrong and say, boss, I know I'm under you, but you know, I don't think we should be lying to the supplier. I don't think, you know what your boss say? Either you keep quiet or sack you. You have a choice. You know, Christians, you know, then you do what you want. No. Say, well, boss, if that's the case, then so be it. But I won't be involved in that because it's wrong. You see, God did tell us to obey our bosses. Now God tell us to obey Him more than man. Because what difference is there if a Christian who goes with the boss at life with a non-believer? You see, you know why Christianity is so weak today? Because Christians are not prepared to make a stand. By God's grace, and that's the way different. Christians that come here who hear God's word say, if this is what God says, we do what God says. And I tell you, life will change. Life will change. From the passage in Numbers 11 and 12, I want to show you three conflicts that all servants of God must face. And I also show you the comfort as a servant of God that you have. Okay, let's turn to Numbers 11. We'll firstly talk about the situational conflict. Numbers 11. Three conflicts we will face. And I'll tell you by God's word how we can handle that. But we have to make a decision in our hearts to handle it God's way. Numbers number 11. Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. If you know the children of Israel, they are a complaining lot. They complain all the time. Even just after Moses brought them across the Red Sea, they started complaining. What did they complain? No water. Huh? After that, no food. And after that, you only give us this one. You know? Typical Singaporean, right? Now once you get A, you want B. Once B, you want C. See? You want a stretcher. You know, you buy something, you want a free gift. A free gift, that one only. Can you have that one also, you know? I think they're talking about Singaporeans. You know? We're complaining, Lord. We complain and complain. And you know what the Bible says? And when the Lord, when the people complain, guess what happened? What's the outcome? It displeased the Lord. You know why it displeased the Lord? Why was God not happy with the children of Israel? Because when we complain, we're saying, God, you're not taking care of us. Think about that. God is not fair in this situation, you know. The conflict comes. And guess what God did? If God did what He did in the Bible today, there are not many Christians left. Because you see what God did. God heard it and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them. They were in the uttermost parts of the camp. You know, in the Old Testament is the law. And God dealt with the people according to the law. God says, you will be holiness to me. When you sin, straight away, you're dead. Many of the people didn't have a chance for the mercy because God was the judge. The reason for the law in the Old Testament was say that we cannot keep the law. We need Christ. Okay? Verse 4, Numbers 11, 4. And after that, guess what happened? And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. What did they lust for? And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? All we have is this sweet bread. Now God, can you imagine? God provided the children of Israel manna. Now, when you talk about children of Israel, we're talking about 2 million people. God provided food for 2 million people. And you know what the people said? Got bread. Yeah, I know it's sweet bread, Lord. Got taste, on, but can we have flesh? And they begin to complain. And then in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10, another situation cropped up. First, it was a complaint. God judged them. But then, you know what? After that, they complained they got no flesh. Then in verse 10, Moses heard these people crying. And remained in the door of his tent. The anger of the Lord was kindled again. Verse 13, when shall I have flesh to give all these people? And Moses now complained. The spiritual leader becomes affected by the people. God, you hear these people's complaint. Now, God, you expect me to give them. You know what? We've been affected too. You know what's happening? Dissatisfaction, there's a lot of situations that will crop up that yourself as a servant of God you have to face and to the place that, Lord, being a Christian is so hard. How many of you have said that before? Being a Christian is so hard. Actually, Jesus said being a Christian is easy. Did you know that? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the way that your burden will be light, if you just obey what he says. Just obey what he says. But you know, these people are complaining. Chapter Numbers 11, verse 14. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because it's too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me. How many of you said that? God, if I want to keep serving this way, God, it's not fair. If no one serves, you can kill me. I don't want to do this anymore already. How many of you said that before? As you serve Christ, as a Christian. God, you made it so hard, I must do this and this and that. I don't give up already. You know, many people, you know why we give up? We serve with our own strength. We serve with our own strength. That's why we give up. Joseph, can I borrow you for a while? Okay? Just face, you want to face them or don't face them? Don't face them all. Very scary. Okay, can you help me to carry this? Just carry that, okay? You will just keep continuing. Anytime you need help, you just let me know. Steady. You okay, huh? We're still friends, right? Okay. What I'm trying to do is, as God gave us something that we need to do as His servant, is it easy to carry the chair? Would it be easier if I do this? Can I say this as Christians? When you serve God, you don't serve God alone. Because God says, take my yoke. Thank you. God's yoke, if you understand the Eastern yoke, when the children of Israel, the yoke always has two parts. God says, you take my yoke. Because I'm going to take one part. I expect you to take the one. Guess who does most of the job anyway? God. Did you get that? Christians, when you know that, when you serve God, you know, even in this church, I'll tell the people all the time, I'm not the head of the church. Christ is. I'm just a servant just like you. God can kick me out anytime. Because He's God. But you know what? Yeah, doing the work could be hard, but God expects a servant to do what we can. God doesn't expect from us what we don't have. Does that make sense? God says you got 24 hours. God, I don't have much time. You know what God's going to say? I gave you 24 hours. It depends on how you proportion the time for me. Remember the verse, Siggy? First, the kingdom of God. When you put God first, you realize you got a lot of time. Well, I wouldn't say that. Let's take that back. You get so busy serving the Lord, you don't have time for yourself. I've been talking to some Christians lately and wanting to share some things, you know, that's Christians, there are so many things to do for God, but we need to prioritize. Are we like Moses? Sometimes situations get too much for us. It's just too many things. You know, my work, my boss, my deadline, my hair didn't come up properly or whatever after I shower and I take some more time to do it. And all the kind of things. And we spend so much time on things and life becomes situated. And how many of you cannot stand it when things don't go your way? Put up your hand. I planned this already and say, why must it rain? You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, situational conflicts. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, another passage of scripture. Still looking at situational conflicts. I'll just read, and I'll highlight it along the way. I want the Apostle Paul to just speak for himself. 2 Corinthians 11:21, the Bible says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I am bold also. In verse 22, are they Hebrews? Paul says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they a seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Are they servants of Christ? Paul says, I speak as a fool. And Paul, when Paul says, "I speak a fool," means I'm going to be foolish for once and just boast about what I'm doing. Let's see what Paul has been doing. And because God allowed it in the Word of God, Paul is not being proud. Does that make sense? Okay? Paul says this, "I'm more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." In other words, the first one, in labors more abundant, means Paul has been doing a lot for God. "In stripes above measures," in other words, he was whipped by people for his faith. "In prisons more frequent." God, I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Then you must be ready to go to prison. Okay? And Paul says, "I've been in prisons more than I can count." That's what he says. "In death of," in other words, there were death threats on his life. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." For the Jews, they would whip him. The Jews would whip him 39 times. The 40th time means death to the individual. Okay, so they would whip only 39 times. 5 times he received that. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. The word stone doesn't mean to take pebbles and throw at you, alright? They would dig a hole. They put the person to be stoned and they take boulders and they throw it on the person. Okay? The Bible says that he was stoned. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck." You know, there are different situations that happen. "A night and day I spent in the deep, journeyings often, in dangers, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and pain." How many of you are tired? Huh? You know what Paul says? "In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often." You know why Paul was watching? You know, I believe with all my heart, Paul was very concerned for the churches. And he would pray, and he would watch, and he would weep. Often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. That's why hunger and fasting are 2 different things. Okay? He was hungry because he didn't have, but you know, he also actively fasted because of certain spiritual things. "In cold and nakedness." Well, this was just one part, Paul says in verse 28. "Beside all these things that are outside the situations." You know what Paul says? "I'm facing all these situations. Sometimes I don't have food to eat. Sometimes things get hard. Sometimes my bosses don't understand me. Sometimes when I work hard, no one recognizes me. Sometimes I'm so tired, I can't even... Can I share something? I'll be a fool when I share this, but, you know, I'm not so smart with this smartphone. Okay? Because sometimes when I have to... I realize sometimes you're so tired. I don't know whether you have experienced it before, that when I was typing, I find I cannot even control my fingers for me. The kind of tiredness. Paul says, "I'm not as holy as the Apostle Paul," but I believe some of you may have gone through a kind of tiredness whereby you just cannot. I remember I was playing the guitar for the Children's Wise Kids Club many years ago. I cannot even control my fingers because it's just, as you're playing, you kind of. And some of you may study very hard to get to kind of tiredness. You know what Paul says? He was tired most of the time. And beside all these things that are outside the situations that happen, "that which cometh upon me daily, the responsibility for the church." In other words, Paul says, I don't just have the situations to care about. I've got people's lives to care about in the churches as well. You know, as a servant of God, we will go through the different situations. The Bible says in verse 29, "Who is weak?" What Paul says? Are you tired? I'm tired too. That's what Paul says. That's what he says. "And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not." You know, can I say, Christians, as a servant of God, there will be situational conflicts. Everything in your life will move against you when you serve God. Did you know that? You know how to have an easy Christian life? Just follow whatever you're doing now. Just do what you want now. When you want to sleep, go and sleep. You need to go to work, just go to work. When you sit down and read newspaper, just sit down and read newspaper. When you watch the TV, just switch on the TV. Just do what you want and the Christian life will be so easy. But it's actually not the Christian life, it's just your own life. If you want to grow in your Christian life, you need to do something. There must be decisions in your life and say, for example, maybe you haven't been reading your Bible. the situations will say, God, I'm so tired, I cannot read my Bible. Maybe I can pray along the way to work. I'm asleep anyway, you know. My eyes are closed anyway, you know. On the MRT, somewhere else. And God, I got my Android phone, so I can just read the Bible along the way. And but then, God, situation is so bad, you know. Every time I read, people push my Android phone because Singapore too busy on the train. Then I got to, and people accidentally touch the touch screen, then it's changed. And God, you know, many situations will happen. But can I say this? A servant's heart will not be moved. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. Paul says there's intense conflict of every kind when you try to serve God. Can I say, not even just serve God, just do the basic things you know as a Christian, reading the Bible and praying. There's so many situations. Many people say, Brother Johnny, you must understand, I'm tired. You know what Paul says? Who's not tired? Oh, you know, my eyes are, I do like that already. I want to get reading glasses, you know, or buy a bigger Bible, okay? You know, some people would complain about things, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know what Jesus says? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The reason why I can't is because I is in the center of the picture. You need to get I out of the way and put Christ in, okay? Here in Acts chapter 20, what was Paul? There's another situation that's going to happen in verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, Acts 20, verse 21, repentance towards God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. In other words, he is led by the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23, except, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, the Holy Spirit said, Paul, you're going to go to Jerusalem, you are going to prison, you are going to have a lot of trouble there. What will you do if the Holy Ghost tell you, Brother Tony, if God say, okay, Tony, you want to go there, and people are going to whack you, take away your glasses, make sure you don't see, make sure you don't have your phone so you cannot refer to the Bible. What are you going to do, you know? Make sure you separate from your wife for 10 years, that kind of thing. What are you going to do? What if we do responses in that case? You know why God doesn't show us everything in our life? Because if He shows us everything in our life, we'll probably say, no way, God, I'm going to do that. That's why we need God for every step of the way. When you move every step, God gives you light just enough so that you will move. God understands man. He knows that if He shows you the whole plan, say, God, no way am I going to do that. But you know what God does in His wisdom? He shows you each step of the way. That's why He just asks us to follow the next step and the next step. Okay, you know what Paul? Holy Spirit says, you're going to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. What is the way to deal with situations? In verse 24, Paul tells us, none of these things move me. You need to resolve in your heart that I am a servant of God, I'm a Christian. Whatever situations that are going to happen to me that will pull me away from God, all these things is not going to move me from God. Because every trial, the Bible says, is going to be a trial of your faith. It's interesting, when you go into troubles, I say this all the time. When you have troubles in your life, how many of you will give up your job? But we'll give up our Christian faith first, before we'll give up our job. You know why? It actually shows our Christian faith is not as strong, or it's not as important to us as our job. If you have a problem, you should be solving the problem. You have no time. You know what people say? Oh, I have no time. I got my job. Well, what about Christ? Can I say this in the final analysis? When you leave this world, who are you going to see? Your boss? You're going to have to see Christ. Christians put God first. That's why Paul says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's an attitude of a servant of God. Whatever I have belongs to God. Do you realize God bought us Christians? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Wherefore, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6:20, glorify God in your body outwardly and in your spirit inwardly. It means the pride and the unforgiveness must be gotten rid of. Or whatever that's in your heart that is sin, gotten rid of. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If you are a Christian today, you know what God did? God bought you out from the safe market of sin. You are no longer under that power. You don't have to say, I cannot control myself. God says you can, because I'm in you now. Does it make sense? The situational conflicts. What was Paul's determination in the situations? Nothing stopped Paul from serving God. Amen? Nothing stopped God, Paul from serving God. Because he says, my life is not as important. God's ministry is more important. Number one, the situation conflicts. Number two, the interpersonal conflict. In Numbers chapter 12, let's move on. The interpersonal conflict. And the question I have for the first part is, what is your determination when you serve God? What is going to move you from serving God? A servant of God will not be moved by situations. So what if you don't have enough to eat? So what if you don't have enough finances? So what? By the way, food and finances come from God anyway. Everything. God says in Deuteronomy 18:8, don't forget me, because it is by it's God that gives us the power to get wealth. And please remember that, Christian, even the money that is going to be given to us to have this church comes from God. The money mortgage that we have comes from God. Yes, I'm thankful that people with a heart to give to the Lord will give, but you know what? Ultimately, it comes from God. And God will supply our needs, okay? Resolve to serve God despite the situation. Number two, the interpersonal conflict. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Miriam is a prophetess of Israel. Aaron was a high priest. Moses was the national leader of Israel. Okay, very prominent. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Some people believe it was Zipporah. There are many, many commentators who say this and that. But essentially, Miriam basically took issue with Moses because he married this Ethiopian woman. The question we need to ask ourselves is, did Moses do wrong by marrying this Ethiopian woman? God said clearly in Deuteronomy 29, God said, you are not to intermarry with people in the land of Canaan. Okay? Land of Canaan, you know what's the land of Canaan? Basically, it's Israel today. Okay? Now, where is Ethiopia? Where is Ethiopia? Africa. In other words, Moses, if by definition God's law, he wasn't doing anything wrong. Does that make sense? Miriam took issue with Moses. I want to highlight this because, as a servant of God, your life is prominent. Anything that you do and say can and will be used against you. Right? Our politicians are big. Every little thing, that's it. And all the YouTubes and you know what? This is just a fact of life. The interpersonal conflicts. It involves one party taking issue with a non-issue situation in the life of a servant. Now, I've been accused of many things before. Okay? And I'm sure you have too, as you try to serve God. People say, why are you serving God? Oh, you want to show off, right? I've literally had people who say, curse Johnny. Well, that was a long time ago. They were just in jest, you know. But, you know, when you serve God, you will have interpersonal conflicts. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. Later on, we'll talk about that. In verse 2, Numbers chapter 12, verse 2, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Eh? You think, in verse 1, he had issue with Moses marrying the Ethiopian woman. But in verse 2, God says there's something else. You know what? Miriam had a problem. There was an underlying reason. Because Moses actually married this Ethiopian woman, and she felt as prophetess of the nation, he should be consulted. Because in Numbers chapter 11, if you read it carefully, Moses had to select 70 elders. Okay, Miriam wasn't involved in that decision. And apparently some people believe that Miriam got angry because she wasn't involved in the consultation process. Huh? Sounds like Singaporeans. Okay? And so in this situation, Miriam got, I'm the prophetess, you know. That lady, I know it's your wife. But you know what? You think God can only speak through you? That was what happened. You know, in the interpersonal conflict, I think we all know, comes in the form of families, in churches, at your workplace, underground. Comes everywhere. You know what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34? Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. As a servant of God, you need to stand for what is true. But you know what Jesus says? When you stand for what is true, truth will separate. It will. Jesus' intention is not to separate families, but when you teach what is true, when you live for what is true, people don't like you much because you expose their error in their life. And so Jesus says in verse 35, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household." Huh? Sounds like Miriam and Moses. Okay? Truth will separate. You know, as Christians, what are we supposed to do when someone opposes us in this situation? Fight back, right? That's what we're taught, right? I think I shared last week about this little girl who was poked in the eye, and the mother said, "Why are you so silly? Why don't you poke the other person back? Okay? Do one to them before they do one to you, you know? Instead of do unto others what you want others to do, you do one to them first." Can I say this across the board? Here, I believe every one of us involved, we always have this thinking. And we don't call it vengeance. We call it our rights. How dare you take this away? You know, I'm going to give it to you also. That's my right, you know. You know what Jesus teaches us? Love your enemies. That's why it's so hard for the Jews to accept Christ. They were always looking for a military leader. They were always looking for someone to stand up for their national pride, national identity. And that's why, you mean my king ride into Jerusalem on a donkey? And that is not the kind of leader we want. But you know what Jesus teaches us? Love your enemies. Jesus teaches us, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, sometimes it's so painful even as pastor to do this because you know this person is not doing right and they curse you. I've had SMSs and I'm sure you do too. People will say things about you. The Lord has taught me, just say, "I'm praying for you, so and so." Jesus wants us to be like Him. When it comes to interpersonal conflicts, Christians, Jesus had interpersonal conflicts as well. Did you know that? Not that He was a cause. All of us are opposed to Him in some way because we choose not to obey Him. And we choose to butt God's word many times, isn't it? And God says, "We need you to do this, but God, you need to understand my situation." You know what? Some Christians go as far as to blame God for situations that happen in their lives, isn't it? You know what Jesus says? Guess what? Jesus continues to bless us. We continue to have lunch. Amen? You continue to be able to swallow your food. Huh? You continue to breathe. You continue to be able to see. You continue to drink. And there's no problem. You can still go do your daily things. And everything is fine. You still have your money in your pocket. Yeah, some more, some less. You know, depending on election time. Or you know, we still have what we need. You know? You know what? God is still kind to us even though we are opposed to Him. Even though our lives are not right with Him, God is still taking care of us. Christians, amen? Because He's our Heavenly Father. But He does want us to understand. In the interpersonal conflicts that you may have, Jesus teaches us to love your enemies. In Luke 6:35, I read this, I was very touched. I didn't really see it until a few months ago when I was listening to a message. Luke 6:35 says, "But love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, because he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." God is still kind to those people who is unkind to Him. How many of us actually thought of God every morning when we are traveling by the MRT? How many actually give thanks to, at least you got standing space in the MRT? Huh? Otherwise, you'll be late for work. Huh? How many you thank God for your job? Huh? There are many people who are without job. They're without food. Did we thank God? Did you realize that the fact that you can go to work is God's blessing? Did we thank God? You know what God says? "I'm still kind to the unthankful." Is it possible for Christians to be included in this verse as well? Oh, Christian, be thankful. Be thankful. How do we deal with interpersonal conflicts? Philippians 2 verse 5. Turn the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Remember, we're talking about the servant, the conflicts of a servant, the interpersonal conflicts that we have. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a command. Paul says, you want to deal with the problems interpersonally? I want you to have this mind in your heart. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus says, when you go through the interpersonal conflict, remember how Jesus would respond. And do it the same way. What did he do? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That simply means, when Jesus is God, that's very clear. The Bible teaches Jesus is God. Okay, there's no doubt about that. Jesus is the Lord. But he says, when I became lower than God, he didn't consider it a robbery of his status. Does that make sense? That's what it means. Thought it not be robbery with God. But, this is interesting, it's a DIY. Made himself of moral reputation. In other words, he has the right. The Bible says, when remember the soldiers arrested Jesus, what did Jesus say? Now you come to me with your fire and torches, can I not call 12 legions of angels and wipe out Jerusalem? Jerusalem could be wiped out the face of the earth. Did you know that night? But Jesus says, I make myself of no reputation. I didn't take on me my rights. Jesus said, I made myself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a doulos. The word servant there means born slave. Doulos. I serve. The word doulos means I serve because I love. Not asking for anything in return. Jesus humbled himself and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself even more. He was willing. Firstly, he made himself no reputation. Then he became a man. Then he was willing to humble himself even unto death. And then he went one step lower. Death of a common criminal. That was how low our Savior was willing to go. And Jesus said, what I do, I expect my disciples to follow also. Let's not minus the spirit of what Jesus is trying to teach us. He said, if I, your master, is willing to wash your feet, Jesus said, John chapter 13, ye ought. The word ought is in an imperative, it's a command. You must wash one another's feet too. That's why my goal is for ambassador to be a servant church. That esteeming the other person better than ourselves is the rule of our relationships. As pastor, I'm here because God put me here. And I won't be here because God kicked me out. I'm here just simply because of God. Many of you serve because of God too. But remember, the principle God wants the church to have is the servanthood, whereby the other person, the mind of Christ. You know, I love our Savior because, you know, every waking moment he's doing something for someone else. Think about that. Every moment is either praying for someone, teaching someone, serving someone, raising someone from the dead. He's just doing something for someone. You know, as a Christian servant, we need to be doing that too. Blessing someone. As God blessed us, we need to bless others too. So in the interpersonal conflict, in your mind, as you go through, especially if the person accuses you wrongly, you know what you need to do? What I usually do is, I'm sorry for offending you. That usually stops the whole thing. Because later on, the person will begin to use other things which, you know, I don't have to fight. I just say, I'm sorry. Even though I know that I may not be in the wrong. If we will just learn the example of our Savior, you don't have to strive. In interpersonal conflicts, have the mind of Christ in you. When they accused Jesus wrongly before Pilate, what did Jesus do? He didn't say anything. He just allowed God to take over the whole situation. Of course, who won in the end? Jesus won. And one day, those Pontius Pilate is going to, you are! Yes. You know, Christians, we can be strong. You know why? God's on our side. Amen. Nothing shall separate us from God's love. Whatever interpersonal conflicts you have, remember, we are Christians first. We are servants. Yeah, but Brother Johnny, you don't understand what he did to me. What did they do to Christ? They killed him. Alright? Did your friend kill you? Let's put ourselves clearly. I know sometimes it pains our heart. We may be hurt deeply. You know what you need to do? Later I'll tell you. Okay, let's move on. The internal conflict, which is our next one. Firstly, it's the situational conflicts. Then the interpersonal conflict. Now it's the internal conflict. Verse 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above the men which were upon the face of the earth. You will understand from Numbers chapter 12, Moses, in this contention, never said a word. The Bible says he was meek. The word meek, you know what's meekness? Meekness is not... That's not meekness. Meekness is... Moses was the one, by the way, who called down the 10 plagues. Moses was the one who opened the Red Sea. Moses was the one who spoke to the rock and water came out. But when it came to interpersonal conflicts, Moses kept quiet. When it was for someone else, Moses would do all he can using God's power. But when it's against himself, he didn't do anything. Oh, Christian, there is a lesson for us. Because meekness is power under control. But you know what? The interesting thing? Now, meekness is a quality of a servant. The sad thing about meekness is this. When you don't say anything, people will step on you more, right? When you don't say anything, you know, Moses could have said, when Moses said, Moses, that wife you married, you know, Moses said, why? You have a problem with my wife? Why? And then you can go on. No, Moses didn't say anything. Alright? Miriam took issue, but Moses never said anything. And the more you don't say, the more the person will say, right? Because you know, can I say this? Can I give you a trick when it comes to argument? When a person argue, and you argue back, the person want to win, so he'll argue some more. And then the person will talk back again. And that is called the escalation. You know what God tells us? This volume will go louder. You don't say anything, you'll go louder again. You know why? He's getting irritated because you're not responding. That's why God says a soft answer turns away wrath. Because it's very hard to fight someone who's not fighting you. Okay? And so here, the more a person is meek, the more the other person think they can bully you. My children get that all the time. I want to share with you something. My children are taught when they play soccer on the field. This is another situation. They are actually playing soccer and notice people will bully them and say things about them to irritate them. You know, so they decided they're going to play among themselves and they try not to include them. And so what happened was it came to a point that these guys were so much they took away the ball, they kicked away, and they just basically bullied them. And then of course they were trying to hide, and then my son came up, "Papa, they're here." So I went down, and I went down, I caught one of them. I caught two of them. And I said, Uncle, Peter, Peter. And so basically I showed them who was boss. Okay? But you know it's interesting. A few days later, they didn't dare to do it anymore to my children. So I told them, why don't you just include them in your play? And you know what? They play very nicely now. The ball kick out, they will take it. Nah, give you back. They won't dare to kick the ball away. This is on our final point, God's vengeance. But you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, throughout all the fighting, as much as Moses kept quiet, can I say this? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, the Lord heard it. That's always my encouragement as a servant of God. No matter how much conflicts you may go through, no matter how much difficulties you may go through, if you choose to stand with God, if you choose meekness above pride, if you choose selflessness versus selfishness in fighting back, God said he heard. And guess what? God now took issue with Miriam. Say, you three, come, I'll meet you at Tabernacle. Kind of like, well, let's go to the back earlier, let's settle this. Also, God did in Numbers chapter 12. We'll deal with that later. But you know, when you go through the internal conflict, when you, as Christians, and especially in Bethany, I will always counsel you, don't fight back. You say, how can, Brother Johnny, how can I don't fight back? He's been doing this to me for years now.
How can you expect me not to do anything?
I don't expect you to do. I expect you to follow God, to do what He tells you to do. You know what you need to do? I want you to learn three things. Three verses. Number one, Isaiah 53 in verse 11. The Bible says He will see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Realize God's will prevail. All right? He shall see. Isaiah 53 verse 11, when you're going through the internal conflict and you find that you just cannot give in, let God's word be the thing that will fortify you. In Isaiah 53 in verse 11, He will see of the travail of His soul. The word travail means what? Internal conflict. When Jesus was on the cross, you think he wasn't sad, or he wasn't painful for Him? You mean it wasn't painful for Him to be separated from His own Father? You mean it wasn't painful for Him to be betrayed by His own Peter, not Judas? Judas didn't have a heart for Jesus. Peter had, and still betrayed Him. You mean Jesus wasn't pained by that? You know what God says? He will see the travail of His soul. He shall be satisfied. Christians, when you go through the difficulties and you find that I can't share with anyone, realize God's will prevail. If you will put yourself in God's hands, God's will prevail. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the religious leaders thought they won, right? No, they didn't. God had a plan. That's why our God is so smart. He's not smart, He's wise. He knows the plan. Even when everything seems dark, God says, I am the light of this world. Christians, can I say that again? When you see everything that is dark in your life, God's word still says, I am the light. And there is still light. If you just try, God's will prevail, number one. Number two, 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, when you internal conflict wise and you just cannot take it, remember the second thing. Encourage yourselves in God. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. David had his own band of soldiers who loved him so much they would do anything to him. But you know what? When it came to the crisis and everyone lost their families and their daughters and their sons, they wanted to even kill David. And David had no one around. You know what he did? The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Christians, can I say that there's no one else around you? God is always there. And you need to go to Him, because He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The word forsake means in the time of crisis, God is not going to walk out from you. Amen? I will not forsake you. Okay, that's God's word. That's God's point. Encourage yourselves in the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 73, the third one. When you find yourself with internal conflict and you find that you're just confused and you're just angry perhaps at what people have done to you, and you find that as a servant of God, yeah, I know I have to love and I have to be patient and I have to be long-suffering, I have to give, you know, all these qualities that you know why many Christians give up the faith? I think one of the reasons why is because of this internal conflict. All they can bear with the outward, but you know the internal things become, and they will keep it for years. And suddenly, they just walk off. Can I encourage you? If you are holding that in your heart, it's a sign you're not turning over to God. You're trying to carry your burdens, just like Joseph just now, carrying the chair. If you don't remember anything in this message, just remember Joseph. Alright? You try to carry your chair by yourself. And the longer you carry it, the more tired you become. And because you know mentally you have to sustain that, right? But physically it gets heavier and heavier. You get frustrated in your heart. I can't do it, I can't do it. And God says, I know you can't, because you are doing it. You need me. And when I started holding it, Joseph said, easier? And you think God does most of the job. If you look at the Bible, God does all the job. Salvation is of the Lord, the Bible says. Everything. Even the saving of children of Israel out of Egypt, it was God did everything. Send the plagues, change the water into blood, open the Red Sea, feed the Israelites, give them drink, give them meat. You know what God says? What else do you want? And here, in Psalm 73, I'll just read a few verses. The Bible says in verse 1 to 3, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as have a clean heart. But as for me, my feet was almost gone, my steps as well, knife slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. How many of you as Christians say, I wish I'm not saved because then I can earn millions of dollars, because I know property agent always work on Sundays. I wish I could do this, I could do... poor me, I'm a Christian. You know there's a devil's lie? The devil like to tell you, being a Christian, you got to do this and do that, and do this and do that, and do this and do that. Yes, there are certain things that God expects us to do, but you know what? The devil makes it hard for you. You're a Christian? Poor thing. You're going to have to give out your friends. Poor thing. It means you got to lose your plan. Poor thing. You got to stay away from this thing. Poor thing. You got to give. You know what? The devil likes to do that to us. And this is what the psalmist was going through. I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look down to verse number 13. He began to have the internal conflict. I verily cleansed my heart in vain. What's the point of being a good Christian? And I wash my hands in innocency. What's the point of doing right all the time? For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. As a Christian, people only look down on me. And you know, I wish I was just unsafe, you know, for 1 month. You know, and then after that, just want to enjoy myself a little bit. Verse 15. You know what? Even as a Christian, I know, as I go through the hard times, I'm not supposed to tell anyone. Because I don't want to stumble them. Look at verse 15. If I say I will just speak my heart, behold, I should offend against the generation of the children. Can you imagine as pastor I complain about everything I go through? I would offend you, right? And pastor, I thought you. Can I say this? I go through internal conflicts too. And what I'm sharing with you many times. In the deadness of the night, when I have to deal with people. And wish to God, God, why don't you just open their eyes? And God, why can't they just see the things that they are doing is hurting them, is hurting their families, is hurting the people around them, it will hurt their future, it will hurt their children. God, open their eyes. You know what? You know, it's a sad thing that people don't see. And in verse 16, guess it, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. That's what the psalmist said. But notice in verse 17, it was painful, Lord. I feel so internally torn apart, Lord. Verse 17, until I went into the presence of God. Can I say this, Christian? When you go through the hard internal conflicts in your life and you find that you cannot find anything else, come to church. You know what Christians tend to do? Oh, I need to handle this myself. I stay away from church. God says, go into the presence of God. And then you will hear. You know, the reason why is because we try to handle affairs of life with this 3.5 kilograms up here. Huh? And our burdens is 50 kilograms. But you know what? You need some input from outside. That's why God says, come into the sanctuary. This psalmist says, I felt it was so painful until I went into the sanctuary, unto the place that God says, if you come in, I'll be there. The sanctuary of God. And some of you may go through internal conflicts that no one knows. And I'm glad you're in church. You need to spend time also reading your Bible, because the moment you go into the Word of God, God speaks to you. Because John chapter 6, verse 60, the Bible says, I believe, the words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. When you hear God's word, God speaks to you. I'm not talking about mystical word, faith thing. This is just God's word. Jesus says, my word is alive. If you will follow me, if you will obey me, you have problem. I told the people in Sunday Bible Hour today, I believe with all of my heart, every problem of life can be solved just by obeying God's word. I don't believe you. Then come, buy me coffee, show me your problem. I share from God's word. I'm not bragging. It's not me solving your problem. It's God's word. God has the answer to every problem in your life. Yes, sometimes you may have to dig it up a little bit, but it's in there. Do you realize this Bible, you cannot understand this Bible? Let me take it back. You can understand the Bible, but you cannot fully understand, because this represents the infinite wisdom of God. You can preach 1,000 messages from one verse. Talk about wisdom. God's word is endless. But you know what? You need to obey this. And sometimes, you know, we try to wrestle with God. I'm confused. I can't do anything. You know what? Just start reading. Start reading. And God's word will start flowing in. And you begin to find the entrance of thy word. The Bible says, gives light. book of Psalms 119. If you would just start reading God's word, God will see they're so afraid of God's word now, screaming up there. No. Number three, come into the presence of God. Christian, if you feel discouraged, if you find that you can tell no one else, you know, you can come to God and say, God, I need your help. God says, I will never forsake you if you come. Okay? And finally, the comfort for the servant of God. Just go a bit faster now. The comfort for the servant of God. I want you to understand a few points. Number one, the conflict is against God, not against you. God takes it personally when His servant who is submitted to Him is being attacked. Can I say that again? God takes it personally when the servant of God is being attacked and the servant doesn't fight back. The Bible says, God stood up for Moses. Miriam, after I talk about how much Miriam had to go through. Number one, remember, John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know they hated me first before he hated you. Okay? Now, Christian, don't do anything that will cause people to hate you. Alright? Some people hate us because it's our own fault, what we say. And they say, oh God, I'm suffering for you. No, you are not. You're just paying the consequences of your words and maybe how you live. Let's be very clear. If you have done wrong, say sorry. Just do the right thing. But you know, if you're living for God and doing right and people are giving false accusation, the Bible says, you know that they hated me first. You know what? People in this world hate righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Acts chapter 5, verse 39. But if ye be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. There are some people, a wise Gamaliel, as the apostles preach, and the people were trying to arrest these apostles, but this wise Gamaliel said, guys, tell you what, you better leave him alone. You just leave it alone. If it's not of God, it will fizzle out. But if it's of God, you'll be fighting against Him. One of the things I tell our church leaders, our people who are in this church, we need to stand on God's word. We need to stand on God's word. When we stand on God's word, we don't have to be afraid. Our people can threaten, they can accuse, they can do whatever they want. They'll be fighting God if we are in submission to Him. But if there's sin in the camp, then we better deal with that. Alright? Okay? So, number one, the conflict is against God, not against the servant. Number two, the conflict is against themselves. A person who opposes the servant of God, or a person who opposes God's word, guess what? You are fighting yourself. That's what the Bible says, alright? In Acts chapter 18, verse 5 and 6, and Silas, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was God. And when they opposed themselves. One thing I've learned in the ministry for every Christian minister, can I share with you this? When you find someone not accepting God's word, the reason is because they are fighting themselves. That's what God says. God opens up for us to understand the reason why people resist the truth is because they are in opposition to themselves. That's what God says here. And when they opposed themselves, I read it again. This is not the first time. Many years ago I've learned this. But not, the first time when I read this, I read it again. Was there a typo? No, it's not. God says the reason why people refuse to obey God is because they are opposing themselves to their own consequences. Okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, Paul tells Timothy, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Anyone who wasn't a Christian, do you realize that when someone shares with you the word of life, and you don't accept the word of life, you are opposing yourself. You know why? If you don't accept God's word of eternal life, where do you go? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you will not accept God's word, you will end up with the consequences. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, 36, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, referring to God's word, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. If you hate God's word, if you will not obey God's word, God says, in actual fact, you are loving death. That's what the Bible says. Oh Christian, when you come into your conflicts, the comfort for us to realize is, if we are doing what is right, submitting to God, doing what is right, and you face the conflicts, remember, it's not against you. It's not against you. It's very hard. We always take things personally, don't we? You know, as a servant of God, that's why Jesus teaches us, if you will follow Christ, you need to deny yourself. And I'll say this, deny yourself means to the extent of even denying what you personally feel about the situation. Roger, that's hard. I know it's hard. If Jesus personally felt offended by Judas, you think he'll die for him? If Jesus took issue? By the way, Jesus can take issue with all of us, because we really have issues against Him. He probably, in His cabinet in heaven, probably filed Johnny Tan and our 3 or 4 layers of issues that He has to deal with me. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Once we trust Him and say, God, I can't do it, You can. Jesus says, I'll come in, I'll clean up all of your sin. Okay. Number 3, the conflict is noticed by God. That's an encouragement. As a servant of God, that's what I learned. And I want you to understand, if anyone opposes you in your ministry, understand this. If you have been doing your work faithfully, and someone opposes you, the conflict is noticed by God. That's what the Bible says. And God saw it. He didn't fight back. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Just read the verses. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Dearly beloved, Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 20. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The conflict is noticed by God. Christians, don't fight for your rights. I'm saying this upon the authority of God's word. God says, for a Christian servant, you are not to fight for your rights. Okay? Now, when I say don't fight for your rights, it means this. The qualification is this. If it's against you, yourself, something that you will lose because of what this person say, God says don't fight for it. But if anyone says anything against this church that is wrong, anyone says anything against any member that is wrong, I will be in the forefront to fight that. Because I need to defend the reputation of this person. Of course, if it's right, then of course there's a different story. But I'll just have to deal with this person and deal with that person. Does it make sense? Anyone that says anything wrong against my wife or my children that are wrong, I will have it out with that person. Because I need to protect my family. It's not for me, it's for them. As a pastor, if anything happens to you guys, if something happens to you, I'll be there to fight for you. Because that is, I'm not fighting for your right, just fighting for what God wants us to fight for. Does that make sense? But if you're offending me, if you accuse me, I can show you handphones, messages of people who have said things, you know what? I'll just ignore it. I don't have to fight you. You know what? My mentality is like, biblically, God will take care of you. If I do wrong, then I better change. But if I didn't do anything wrong, you say that thing, I'm praying God have mercy on that person. Because I want you to see the fourth thing about the comfort of a servant. God's vengeance on our behalf. You know what God did to Miriam? Numbers chapter 12, verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. You know what that means? That is one of the severest punishments God put on Miriam. You know why? Leprosy is living death. You are alive, but you are cut off. You have no social connections with anyone. You are supposed to be unclean. God put a living death on Miriam. You know, as an indication and a comfort to a Christian, you know, at the end of the story, if you truly love Christ, God will stand up for you. Oh, I've had that again and again. You just need to walk with God. You know, there was a living death. Two things. The vengeance of God was living death. Number 2, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? God ensured, although Miriam was forgiven, God ensured that her rebellion was not forgotten. And God put Miriam under that judgment for 7 days. And the way she's going to have the judgment lifted is when her dad spit on her face. Think about that. Oh, God is so good. No, He's not. God is just making a statement there. For us Christians, in application to our verse, don't presume upon God's love. Don't think that, oh, God is always like, He is always love. In fact, He's so long-suffering. He should have destroyed this world a long time ago because of our rebellion. But because God is still sending His servants to tell other people about His love, and God is withholding His judgment. Fukushima, a nuclear reactor, the tsunamis of this world, earthquakes in this world, are just a small part of what is going to happen in the 7 years of tribulation. When God unleashes His vengeance on this world, you know what? Within 2 years, 3 years, half the world's population will die. That is the wrath of God. Now, I think God is just giving us a glimpse. But you know what? For us, the comfort as a servant is that God still wants to use us. He wants to comfort us and say, I want you to be a servant in this sin-cursed world to continue to go out. How did, you know, as Miriam has been judged by God, what was Moses' response in all this? I want to finish off with this, so there's a good ending. Numbers 12, verse 13. a servant of God experiencing the situational conflicts, the interpersonal conflicts, and the internal conflicts. Notice at the end of the whole thing, when Miriam was being judged by God, notice Moses' response. Numbers 12:13, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O Lord." At the end of the day, the servant wasn't taking care of himself. It was always for someone else. Well, Johnny, are you asking us to do a hard thing? No, I'm just asking you to trust God. Obey Him. No, Brother Johnny, I can't do that. Well, just do bit by bit. Faith grows as you take the first step. Like a young child preparing to walk, they need to learn to take the first step. They may fall, but that's where we come in, that's where God comes in to help us to take each step of faith. If you are unable to take that step of faith, that's where the church comes in, where we help one another. The servant song, "I'm your brother, I will hold a Christ-like to you in the time of your fear." And that's where God puts us. Christians, you cannot live life alone. You need to live life in the body of Christ, whereby God puts us together to love Him, to walk together, to support one another. Yeah, there will be times when you will have the conflict, but that's when God puts us together, many members and one body, whereby we serve Christ, walk the Christian road, be servants for Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for your precious word. God, I ask that you teach us to be true servants of yours. Lord, as we learn lessons from the life of Moses, he experienced a situational conflict whereby everyone, Father, was complaining about this and that. But we saw also the life of the Apostle Paul, how he went through so much trials in his life, and yet, Lord, he was willing to stand firm in the mission or the will that you've given to him. Oh yes, there will be interpersonal conflicts. There's sometimes when people will pick things, Lord, to take issues in our life. Help us, Father, to resolve in our hearts, not to allow that to affect us too. But worst of all, the internal conflicts. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Lord, help us not to walk away from your presence, because your presence is so precious. It teaches us valuable lessons. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to comfort us, Lord, for those who are going through conflicts as a Christian, as a servant of God. Did they find themselves hard-pressed? Some of us even choose to give up the faith. Oh God, there is no reason anyone can give to give up God, because you have been so kind and so loving to us. Lord, I pray for our visitors that have come. Perhaps there are things in their lives that they are finding hard to take control or resolve, or problems in their lives. Help them to know Jesus cares so much for them. But Jesus does want them to obey Him, first of all. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I'm just going to ask you two questions. Number one, if God is working in your heart and you are experiencing conflict of any sort in your life, perhaps you are saying the things of life is just too heavy, I'm going through the situational conflicts. You may be having difficulties with people, the interpersonal conflict, and you know that you didn't do anything wrong, or you're going through the internal conflict. But by despite you trying your best, still there's frustration, and you're unable to feel the comfort of a servant. When you know God will take charge, you say, "God, you have spoken to me. And all I'm going to ask you to do is, it's God speaking to you. If He is, can I encourage you, just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you and ask God to help you in your situation. I don't know your heart because I'm not God, but God does, amen? God knows in your heart, but He wants you to respond and say, the putting up your right hand is an indication and say, God, I need your help. Is there anyone? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see those hands all over. Anyone else? Just put up your right hand and then pray. Pray in your own hearts. Yeah, put up your hand and pull it down, and then after, I'll be praying for you later, but you pray and just beg God. It's between you and God. No one knows what is happening in your heart, but you need to come clean with God. Anyone else? God, you're doing something in my heart. I want to respond. Lord, I want to be counted. I want to be prayed for and pastor spread it. God, you do something. Anyone else? And I'll ask you one more question. If you're here, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Nothing else matters. Unless you have settled that. I'm not a Christian, Brother Johnny. I don't know if I die right now, I'll be in heaven. And you know, I want to be sure. We're not here for your money. We're not here to ask you to be a member. But we just want to show you from God's Word
how you can be a Christian? Is there anyone like that? Rajani, I don't know. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. I want to know more. Is there anyone? Put up right hand, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone? And I'll get someone else to show you. Is there anyone? If not, let's pray. Father, I pray for those people who has put up their hands on the first invitation. God, this is an invitation of the heart. Lord, we're not going to go into any fancy songs. But yet, it's just between you and us. I pray for everyone who has put up their hands. Lord, there are struggles in their lives, perhaps, that only you know. God, give us the strength we need. And we're begging you, Father, to help us to have a servant's heart. God, to be like Christ. Oh God, it's so hard because of our sinful nature, because of our pride. God, it's so hard to let go. But God, you can help because you promise you will. You say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, we're asking you for help. We are determined in our heart, Father, to be a servant. We are determined in our heart to resolve, Father, despite the situations, to be strong. We are asking you to help us in our interpersonal relationship, that we will put the other person first, despite how the person will treat us. We are prepared, Father, to come into your presence, Father, when the internal conflict comes. And God, we want to receive the comfort of a servant where you know us by name. You know us, even though we have no name, but Lord, you know us. And God, you will reward us according to your will. Father, I thank you for people who have put up their hands. I pray your Holy Spirit will strengthen them. I pray, Father, when they go home, Lord, the decision they have made in their hearts, the reason why they put up their hands, Father, is because of something in their life. I pray, Father, it will not just be a one-off decision, but God, they will go back, they will think about it, they will share with someone who cares for them, they can pray over, and that God, in a week or two or 3 weeks, Father, you will be willing to see the change in their life, because God, if you are working, Father, we will see change, because you are a God, a life-changing God. Father, we pray your Holy Spirit will do that in the life of everyone that put up their hands. Lord, we thank you as we sing a closing hymn, Father, that you will help us to be a servant for your honor and glory. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and just sing the servant song.